I'm Jack Howe, host of the new Barron's Streetwise podcast on business and investing. Each week we hear from company chiefs and analysts about profound changes facing investors. We've heard from Disney's Bob Iger about the future of movies and theme parks, CVS's Larry Merlo about stores providing more health services, and Ford's Jim Hackett about how the pandemic might change the car business. Subscribe to Barron's Streetwise on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, May 6th. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Going to the grocery store has become tedious and actually dangerous during the pandemic. To stay out of the stores, many people have started ordering their groceries online, but it's so many that it's become nearly impossible to score a delivery slot. Our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen, will join us to share her guide for getting your groceries delivered after these headlines. Airbnb is the latest to announce layoffs during the pandemic. On Tuesday, the company said it would cut 25% of its workforce. That's 1,900 employees. Airbnb says it's also going to reduce investment in newer areas like its transportation and studios initiatives and scale back plans to bring traditional hotels and luxury properties onto its platform. As global travel has come to a halt, Airbnb has been forced to slash its revenue forecast by more than half. Disney reported its earnings on Tuesday. The company has lost over $1.5 billion in operating revenue since it shut down Walt Disney World. And analysts expect the losses to be even more pronounced in the future. But the division that includes Disney Plus has been a bright spot, bringing in more than $4 billion in revenue. The service crossed 50 million subscribers in April, but Disney is still spending significantly on marketing Disney Plus and says it's consolidating with Hulu and ESPN Plus. California is suing Uber and Lyft, saying they misclassified their drivers as independent contractors rather than full employees. The state is seeking millions of dollars in penalties and unpaid payroll taxes. This is part of a battle that's been going on since California passed the AB 5 law last year, which required more gig workers to be classified as full employees. There's been a flood of counterfeit masks, test kits, and other medical equipment entering the U.S. since the pandemic began. Now we report exclusively that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, otherwise known as ICE, is partnering with Amazon and two other companies to try and stop it. And many parts of the country are beginning to reopen, but what will it look like in our offices when we go back to work? To keep people safe, some workplaces will be implementing solutions like plexiglass dividers and sending in cleaning crews more frequently. But our reporter Conrad Putzer says they might also be implementing more high-tech solutions.
A lot of companies are now installing thermal cameras in the lobbies of buildings so that if you walk into your office and you have a fever, the camera will notice this. And maybe there's going to be someone at the door who stops you and says, hey, don't come in, you have a fever. Companies are now installing apps on their employees' smartphones that basically track how good you are at social distancing and who you come into contact with. There are all these sensors and cameras in buildings that keep track of occupancy. You know, if the room gets too crowded, the employer will know and they'll know who was in that room and who to blame. So there's all this essentially surveillance technology that's being added to the office in the name of safety.
And while most people acknowledge that these sorts of measures will help keep the spread of the virus in check, there are obviously still concerns about using this kind of surveillance technology in the workplace.
One huge concern is that all this surveillance tech that's being installed may remain in the office permanently, even when the pandemic is over. So maybe over the next 6 months, over the next year, that thermal camera is being used to take your temperature and these sensors are being used to make sure you don't come into contact with someone who was infected. But what happens when the pandemic is over? Are these sensors still going to trace your movements? Is that going to violate your privacy? A second concern that we hear about is the potential for discrimination. So one of the things that employers are doing is they're considering dividing their workforce into groups based on how at risk they are to the virus. So Interpublic, which is a huge advertising company, they are considering dividing their workforce into three groups. So level one would be you're young and healthy and you have antibodies against the virus, so you're basically safe. Level two would be you're young and healthy, but you don't have antibodies, but you're probably going to be fine if you get the virus. Level three is maybe you're old, you have pre-existing conditions, or you're a smoker, and they basically want to group the workforce into these levels to then decide who can come back to the office at what time. But the risk is that people are being discriminated against. You know, if you're at risk, you can't go back to the office. That's maybe in your interest because it keeps you safe, but maybe it has a disadvantage for you. If you can't go to meetings, if people don't see you in the office, is that going to be harmful to your career? And I think those are some of the issues that we'll be grappling with for months to come.
Up next, our personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen joins us with her guide to grocery delivery.
I'm Jack Howe, host of the new Barron's Streetwise podcast on business and investing. Each week we hear from company chiefs and analysts about profound changes facing investors. We've heard from Disney's Bob Iger about the future of movies and theme parks, CVS's Larry Merlo about stores providing more health services, and Ford's Jim Hackett about how the pandemic might change the car business. Subscribe to Barron's Streetwise on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
After the break. A lot of things have changed in the past few months, and that includes the process of getting groceries. If you're still going to the local grocery store in person, you may have experienced longer lines and higher stress levels as people try to maintain that 6 feet of distance while they fill their carts, or not. But if you're a high-risk individual or an essential worker, or you're just trying to stay home, you might be getting your groceries delivered. In fact, so many people are turning to delivery that drop-off slots are becoming increasingly rare on services like Instacart and Amazon Fresh. Our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen, has been talking to the companies delivering our groceries during the pandemic, and she joins us to tell us what she found out. Hey, Nicole, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. So, yeah, I think a lot of people have experienced this slot scarcity. You spoke to people from some of the most popular delivery services, Instacart, Amazon, and Walmart. Can you just give us a sense of how the companies have seen their services change since the pandemic began?
Well, grocery delivery definitely wasn't ready for a pandemic, and that was apparent almost immediately. I think that as people started realizing that they needed to stay home and stock up on groceries for 2 weeks at a time, those slots became more and more scarce. Instacart said customer order volume was up more than 500% from the same time last year. And they have started introducing new measures like, you know, adding grocery pickup instead of just delivery. Now it's delivery. Now you can pick up your order ready in store and other things like, you know, on Instacart, you can also opt to get a fast and flexible delivery, which means that your order isn't pegged to a certain time. Since you're at home anyways, you'll be there to accept the delivery. But I think that delivery availability slots are now more available. However, it's still difficult to get a time slot if you want it.
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning, we were hearing anecdotally stories of people waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning to try to get a slot a week in advance. You spoke to a mom in Seattle who's also been going to some extreme lengths to try to get enough food because she's got three very hungry teenagers that she needs to feed. Is that right?
Yes. And so because she has three hungry teenagers, she has three different windows open. They're all different services. And she, as she's working, she's just refreshing them all day, every day. When she gets up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, she opens her phone and she checks for time slots. And this is what people have to do now in order to get a successful checkout.
One of the things that she described, I've also heard stories about and experienced myself, that even when you do get that delivery slot and you try to fill up your cart, you often find out that the delivery is incomplete, right? Because a lot of things are just not in stock.
That's right. And that's why it's really helpful, especially on Instacart, where you can do this to pre-select replacements, or else when you get your delivery, almost, you know, half of your order might not arrive because things are out of stock. And if you're ordering on Amazon or Whole Foods, you have to be by your phone or on your computer to approve replacements in real time, or else you won't get those deliveries. Though on Walmart, shoppers do pick your replacements on your behalf. So you basically have to trust that shopper is going to, it knows your taste and is going to pick a good replacement for you.
Okay, so this is the Tech News Briefing podcast. We want to hear about some of the tech options that are out there to try to help people out with these. Some people have started using Chrome extensions and other browser tools. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, so these browser extensions essentially auto-refresh the checkout page for you, and it sends you a ding or an alarm sound when it detects that there is an availability window. but you really need to be careful with these kinds of extensions. You know, there are also scripts available online on websites like GitHub, but if you don't know how to read scripting language, I'm just saying, like, scrap the script entirely, because it can essentially do anything on your computer without your knowledge. The risk of a browser extension is a bit more contained, but you do need to pay close attention to the permissions it asks for. So for example, if it's an Amazon delivery slot checker, it should only need permission to look at websites on Amazon's domain, and it shouldn't require access to, for example, keyboard events.
So if people are just starting out using these services, do you have, or maybe even thinking about switching from one service to another, do you have any good rules of thumb for how to figure out which platform to use?
I think that you'll want to use the platform that has the most delivery availability. If you're a Prime member, you'll get a ton of perks on both Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods and Amazon Prime Now, three different services that essentially do the same thing, except that Whole Foods obviously sources only from Whole Foods and not from Amazon. And if you're a Prime member, you know, you'll get free delivery for orders over $35, for example, and access to a ton of sales. On Instacart, you'll get a ton of selection as it pertains to stores, so a lot of local stores in your neighborhood. And on Walmart, there's a vast selection of items. And so it really just depends on what you need at that time.
And a lot of people are looking at these big conglomerates and thinking, you know what, I really want to support my local businesses. I want to make sure that those grocery stores are still there when all of this is over and I'm just not reduced to only ordering things online. Are there any ways to do that and support those local businesses?
Well, in Instacart, you get access to a lot of local stores that aren't just big box retailers, but also there are a ton of bakeries and local restaurants that are now selling produce. And, you know, a bakery around the corner from me is selling bread flour, which is sold out almost everywhere. So definitely give your local bakery or restaurant a call to see if they're willing to sell you groceries.
Excellent. All right. Our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen, thanks so much for coming back.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Before we go, we are still taking your work from home tech stories and questions. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, will be back with us on Friday to share her favorite tips and solutions. You can call us and leave us a voice message at the number in the description, or you can email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsj.com. And that was your tech news briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.